Award-winning blues rock band King King, in association with Planet Rock Radio, have announced a nationwide UK tour for May 2016. It kicks off at Manchester Academy on Thursday the 12th, and there's full details on all our websites. It includes a date at Sheffield City Hall on Sunday, May the 15th. Their special guest is South African blues rock sensation, guitarist and singer-songwriter Dan Patlansky. Well, my name is Graham Walker, and to tell us all about it today, about the band, about King King and everything they're up to, I've got their lead singer and guitarist, Alan Nimmo, on the phone. So, first up, Alan, tell the uninitiated a little bit about King King and what music fans can expect when they see you live.
Of course, yes. For those of you, who have never heard of the band before, we're probably what you would call a classic rock slash blues slash soul band these days. Four-piece, guitar, keys, bass, drums. And sort of in the genre of the kind of Free, the Bad Company, Ellie Whitesnake, along with a little bit of Clapton and all sorts of stuff like that. So it's a good energetic show. Is what you get live, and I think that's what sets us apart.
Fantastic, and you know what? We've got them wonderful Glaswegian tones coming down the phone at us. So, Alan, can you tell me, who were your early influences when you were growing up in Glasgow?
When I was young, I had Fire and Water by Free, and when I first heard that, I was kind of hooked on that style of music, that the tone from the guitar playing and Paul Rodgers' voice. I mean, things like that. I mean, it was all. I grew up with the Eric Clapton and Friends era of the mid '80s, and Ellie Whitesnake, Thunder, Steve Marriott. You name it, Peter Green, Eric Clapton, the whole lot. I could go on all day with a list. But that's sort of the main influences that I remember listening to as a kid, and that's probably what's been my biggest influence today as a writer as well. So
does that still come out in your music today?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it shows, especially more so nowadays when I'm writing songs. I mean, I think the more relaxed I get and the more experience I get as a writer, all those early influences start to really bubble to the top. They start to show. Whereas before, maybe I was writing just sort of generic blues songs and just making it about filling the space in the 12 bars. But now it's more of an intricate process now, and all those influences are coming out nowadays. So, hopefully, I'm doing the genre justice.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you're getting some rave reviews. I've got to mention that I think two of your recent Radio 8 singles on Planet Rock with Crazy and Hurricane, and I think you also got nominated for the Best New Band at this year's Classic Rock Awards. It's been quite an amazing 18 months, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a bit crazy, but it's amazing. It's just great to see obviously we're very immersed in what we're doing, we've just got our heads down and working hard and now and again you have to stop and have a look at how far you've come, and I think, and that's what sometimes surprises even me, the rate it's going and the way that the success of the band is turning into a good positive. It's just been great.
Can you tell me a little bit about the latest album as well? I think, is it Reaching for the Light?
Yes, that's it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we released that just early this year, last year, and I think it was after the kind of relative success of the second album, the Standing in the Shadows album, because, with that album, that was still sort of more curtailed into the blues world, and that won several awards for that album, so we had to have a real successful album for the next one. So I didn't want to just produce another album that was just as good as the second one. We had to take it up a level and take it up another notch, and then the writing process began, and the end result it worked, I suppose, because we've kind of slid on over into that sort of a more mainstream market in the classic rock market, which has gained us a whole lot of new fans, and also with the help of touring with Thunder and likes of John Mayall and things like that. That's helped us immensely, so it's turning people on to that kind of style of music again, which is great for us.
You're also getting national BBC coverage as well, not least of all on Radio 2. I mean, how helpful is that?
You can't have enough exposure on the radio and in local papers and things like that, so to get some airplay and some time to get talked about quite a lot from the BBC or indeed anybody else that talks to any other radio stations around I mean, it's just every little bit helps a man. All of that helps, and we're very lucky that, you know, Paul Jones and his Billy Spoo show, and Paul Jones is a good pal, and he's always been a fan of the band since day one, so it's nice to know that he still gives us a lot of airplay and talks about us, you know, in a very friendly manner, so that can't do us any harm, can it?
And Alan, I've got to ask you, what's it like when you hear your music actually being played on, you know, on the BBC radio nationally? I mean, do you still get a buzz?
Do you know what? I never get to hear it, because I tell you why. Because whenever we're on the radio, my phone rings and my mother screams down the phone at me for 5 minutes, screaming in excitement, telling me that I'm on the radio. So I end up, by the time she stops doing that, it's gone.
Brilliant. Well, I mean, there is another great experience that you've had quite recently. I mean, this must be terrific. Tell me what this is like. You recently, you were handpicked, I think, by Thunder to open for them on the UK Arena Tour in February.
Yeah.
What was that like?
That was like a dream come true. I mean, I'm a huge Thunder fan. I've been for many, many years. So then to finally get asked to go on tour with them was enough. But then we got told where we were going to be playing. It was like, talk about ticking boxes in a career. You know, that was just fantastic. To get to walk out on the stage at Wembley to 7,000 people, and then to have them then after that singing one of your songs. I mean, that kind of chorus coming back at you was so powerful. It was amazing. You know, so I mean, something like that's just this. I could die a happy man, you know.
You know what? It's not an overnight success story if you make it big, is it? There's a rite of passage, and I mean, you've been at it for a little while now, haven't you? Things are turning a corner, aren't they? I mean, where do you see yourselves in, say, 18 months' time?
You know what? In this game, you just never know, do you? You know, we just hope for continued success, and just hope that people keep on enjoying the music. But yeah, I mean, it's been, you say, a rite of passage, and we were one of the kind of last bands, and before King King as well, working with my brother and things like that. You know, we did it that old fashioned way where you got in the van and you travelled around the country and played in all the dives everywhere, and you built up an audience that way rather than what a lot of bands have got the luxury of doing now is sitting in at home and on the social media things, you know, Facebook and the likes, and they're spreading the word that way, which is a great tool. It's an amazing tool for bands to do that nowadays. But I think there's definitely something in you know, learning your trade and doing your musical apprenticeship by travelling around in the knack of the old van, sitting in the back and talking about a speaker and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and showing up at some pub where people are asking you to play all sorts of Pink Floyd and Oasis and things like that, and looking at you threateningly. It certainly gives you an education.
But that's good advice for new up-and-coming bands, isn't it?
Well, definitely. I mean, I still think there's merit to doing it that way. You know, there's definitely merit in doing it that old way, because you do learn. You do learn what it's like. And to be honest, the biggest thing for me is appreciating when things do start to turn around and start to go a lot better for you. You appreciate where you are, and you appreciate getting into the bigger venues and playing in front of great crowds and getting looked after backstage and all that kind of thing. That's when you've grown up not having any of that, and you know, and doing it all for yourself, doing the hard work, doing the graft. When you finally get that, it's something you can hold on to and appreciate, rather than, you know, some kids come in and just born straight into that style, and they've not done any of the hardship before that, you know, so they don't know any other way than this. So and that's a shame sometimes. But so my advice to young bands would be is to you know, appreciate what you get, because it could have been a whole lot worse for you.
Now, in terms of having a presence on stage, it's not just about the music, it's about the presentation, it's about the performance. I've seen some pictures of you guys, and I know you're a very proud Scotsman. I've seen you in your kilts. I mean, is that part of the stage? Is that part of the attire that you come out on stage in?
It is, yeah. You know, years ago when we kind of first started, we got given a slot at one of the UK blues festivals, and I thought, well, you know what? But I'll put a kilt on for a laugh. You know, and just see how it goes down, and I've never been able to get rid of the thing since. I can't lose the kilt anymore. It's expected now, but I mean, it's been a good thing in a way, because it's almost become the brand of the band. You know, it's become that kind of iconic brand look, and it's associated with King King now. So we're happy to keep it.
I mean, in terms of fans, I mean, do you get fans turning up in kilts? And is it a bit like the Bay City Rollers with the Tartan Army?
Oh, yeah. We were in France just the other night, and right in the front row in the middle of the show, there was a French guy dressed in the full regalia, the full kilt and the jacket and everything, the sport and the lot. You know, and we get legions of them coming along. I think somewhere in, like, Belgium or Holland, there's a busload of them come along and they all wear kilts.
Oh, it's fantastic. Of course, I've got to ask you the question, is there anything under the kilt?
Well, I'll leave that to your imagination.
Well, look, well, I'm just going to remind everybody that you've got a UK tour. You're at the Manchester Academy on Thursday, May the 12th, and I think you're playing at Gateshead, Glasgow, Sheffield City Hall on Sunday, May the 15th, Gloucester, Crawley, Salisbury, and Birmingham Town Hall, I think, then on Saturday, 21st May.
Yeah.
So all the details will be on our website. I can't wait to see this. This is going to be a great show. And just finally before we go, the guy, Danny Patlansky, who's on the bill with you, what can you tell us about him?
Dan's one of these sort of... he's a South African lad. He's very well known over there, and he's one of these kind of guitar virtuoso guys. And he's, you know, it's kind of very, you know, that kind of very Hendrix mixed in with a bit of modern day guitar playing, such as, you know, Satriani's and stuff like that. He's a wicked kind of wizard on the guitar, you know, and he's doing very well for himself, and he's getting a lot of attention in the UK at the moment as well. So to me, that's when we're choosing a band to take out the road as our support, we're more interested in having a great band. You know, rather than being a business decision, it's more about having a good band with us that our fans as well can understand, you know, the music. You know, they'll enjoy what he does along with what we do. So it's a great mixture and a great package for people. So and that's the most important part for us. And Dan's a great guy as well. We met him at the Classic Rock Awards and we hit it off. And he's just a very humble young lad. You know, he's a great player and he's got some good things ahead of him.
This is not going to be a quiet night where people are going to be sat in the seats, is it?
It's not going to be a quiet night, you know. We hope not. And I'll be positively encouraging people to get out of their seats. It's an energetic night. It's a good fun. People are there for a good time, have a sing-along, and enjoy the music.
Well, Alan, thank you for your time. Like I say, just to let everybody know again, the full details of all the gigs are going to be on our website. It's been a pleasure to speak to you, Alan. Can't wait to see you on tour.
Thank you very much. Cheers, thank you.
Bye-bye.